Once upon a time, heads turned when people rode by on mountain bikes. They were novel. They didn't look like all the 10 speeds and the other street bikes with the curly horns we'd gotten used to seeing. Now, they're no big deal. Bikes with bigger tires and straighter handlebars and 15 or more gears are all over the place. There are several people to thank for that. Our next guest thanks one guy in particular. Ron Hilbert is the guest, and the person he honors is Gary Fisher, called by some people the father of the mountain bike. Ron Hilbert made a film about him, premiering tonight in Roseburg at 7 o'clock at Backside Brewing Company. Ron, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, good to be here.
Talk about your own biking, your own love for mountain bikes. This apparently goes way back in your own life.
Well, I got introduced into mountain biking by a Hollywood stuntman by the name of Tap Knut, who was the fellow that trained Charlton Heston on how to drive the chariots in Ben-Hur.
Wow, he'd been around a while.
So he had retired and came up to my canoe and kayak shop, which I later added the mountain bike shop, and sold me his Tom Ritchie mountain bike, which at that time just had friction shifting. So I've kind of been there through the evolution of friction shifting to index shifting to all the changes that have been happening in mountain bikes.
So we might as well start there and talk about the differences between mountain bikes and other bikes. What is friction shifting and index shifting for those of us who just push the little levers and wait for things to go clunk?
Right. Well, friction shifting was kind of a guessing game before index shifting. Index shifting, when the shifter went click, it went into a specific gear, and was much easier for the beginner and others to know exactly what gear you were in.
Okay, and then so index shifting, you can actually tell what gear you're in by looking at the indicators?
Well, that or hearing it. Mm-hmm. Initially, the shifters were on top of the handlebars, and then eventually they figured out, well, when you hold on to the bike, your thumb is underneath, so I think we better move the shifters down there.
That's where I like them. So let's talk about Gary Fisher then. Is he truly an exalted figure for mountain bikers?
Well, it's actually an amazing history that he's had and the things that he has designed. It turned out that he wasn't really a super businessman, but he was a great designer and developer, and back in 83, he actually developed the Unicrown fork for mountain bikes.
What does that mean?
Well, it's a steel fork in a particular design, and when we did this film, which I had the mountain bike shop, Adventure Mountain Bikes, in Rancho Cordova, California, the suspension forks were just starting to be talked about, but it wasn't until the next year they actually came on the market. So I'd been telling friends of the local club up here that I had some archives of Keith Bontrager and Gary Fisher around, but the videotapes were so old that I didn't have anything to play them on. And I was trying to find the tapes in my archives and finally did locate them and realized at that point what incredible piece of history this was, because this was right before they started putting suspension forks on mountain bikes. And that really changed the whole landscape as to what a mountain bike could do and where it could go.
All right, so let's get a sample here, because you mentioned some of the old film, old tape you had, actually. There's old videotape. Probably was on VHS, I'm going to guess. But so from your shop in California, 1989, here's a clip of Gary Fisher from a workshop he gave there.
Steering column, to me, always seemed to be, this is a real weak link. And, you know, you hear some people say sometimes, well, you know, we keep our designs. We do our designs with respect for over 100 years of bicycle history. Well, last year, this year, I sort of thrashed 100 years of bicycle history. The headset diameter has been around for about 100 years. It's a real, real old traditional size. And about a year and a half ago, I went to a Japanese headset maker called Tange Sakai.
All right, so the essence of what we're getting here is that Gary Fisher essentially ripped up what was there before and charged ahead in a fairly radical way. I mean, in non-biker ease, how radical were his changes from what came before?
Well, these have been kind of evolutionary changes. In the film, he talks about how he was riding down Mount Tam and looking at his fork and watching the blades on the fork flex and the axle move on his front wheel, realizing that it needs to be stiffer. The stem was flexing, the handlebars were flexing, and so because of this off-road pounding, he needed to beef things up. And so this kind of natural evolution came along of creating the changes in geometry. And 1989 was the first year he introduced his Evolution headset, which was 1.25 inches. So the thicknesses of the material could be reduced and lighten the bike up slightly, but at the same time gain strength because of the changes that he made.
I see. So what you were looking at was, in order to get the kind of robustness you'd need to be able to take a bike to take the pounding it would take off of paved roads, you'd have to make it a little stouter, but you didn't want to add the weight with that.
Correct. And up to that time, everything had a 1-inch headset, and so to make it work for mountain bikes, they had to have a very thick stem so that it added a lot of weight to the bike. The fascinating thing, I think, is that he came up with a number of bike designs, like the CR7, which was a frame design joining aluminum and, chromoly. Now, the front triangle was aluminum, and then to that they bolted a chromoly rear triangle for stiffness. So it was, he came up with some very innovative ideas. My original Tom Ritchie bike, there was probably 4+ inches between the rear tire and the seat tube. And he shortened that chainstay up until there was maybe only 1/4 inch between the tire. So he made a lot of innovations, which gave a better climbing bicycle. And in mountain biking, you have a lot of short bursts of energy for getting up little hills, so on and so forth. So these things just absolutely changed the industry, made the bike more friendly to ride and easier to ride, and much more stable once they added a suspension fork to the front.
Ron Hilbert's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a mountain bike aficionado and a salesperson for that matter, too, and also a filmmaker now. He's made a film about Gary Fisher, considered the father of the mountain bike. That premieres tonight at 7 at Backside Brewing Company in Roseburg. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Got your own experiences with mountain bikes you'd like to share, some questions about mountain bikes or the process. 800-838-3760 to join the discussion by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Ron, what is the name of the film you're showing tonight?
Well, actually, I haven't really named it other than Gary Fisher. The best part was discovering all the information that Gary was sharing with us in this workshop that he did, and the unbelievable timing of the fact that he talks about there were only 4 suspension forks that had been built. And a week before he did the workshop, he had ridden the first RockShox. And he talks about that experience and how it was going to change mountain bikes. And, of course, the very next year he came out with his own mountain bike with the Fisher Mount Tam, with the first production mountain bike with a front suspension fork, which was a RockShox.
All right, we have an email here from Bruce in Ashland. He says, I love mountain bikes and ride them, but I'm not thrilled by all the erosion being caused by rogue bikers going off and making new trails and using skidding to slow down as they scrape down steep hillsides in our watersheds. Any comments on how we can raise awareness and increase penalties for violations? I imagine that's an issue not just in the Ashland area, Ron.
There's always been issues, and it depends on where the people are riding their bikes. Obviously, sensitive areas, people shouldn't be riding bikes. They usually leave very little damage. We've seen a lot of damage on trails from horses. But if they're ridden properly, they really shouldn't make very, very little impact. It's not like the trails you see in Yosemite where they're literally ditches you're walking through. So, sensitive areas people need to stay away from. But those are pretty well designated by the Forest Service and national parks, so on and so forth. But there's just the outdoors and single-track trails where hikers and horses also go need to be shared by everybody.
So where was Gary Fisher doing his riding when he was creating his first mountain bikes?
Well, he grew up in Marin County, so he was up on Mount Tam. There was a race that they had at Mount Tam, and he came up with this old bike that he put fat tires on, so on and so forth, and still, I think, holds the record for descent down this one road on Mount Tam. And it's a pretty steep road. But Mount Tam and that Marin County has some beautiful riding. And that area has become a mecca for mountain bikers because of the beauty of the area.
It's got that going for it, Mount Tamalpais in Marin County. Did Gary Fisher's changes then, Ron, catch on like wildfire?
Well, not at first, because there was a lot of competition out there. But the changes that he made were big changes that made a difference. A lot of people were making changes to their bikes just to sell them from the standpoint of making them look different and what have you, but they really didn't work. The changes Gary Fisher made actually worked. And that was the big difference. He really knew what he was doing.
Does Gary Fisher still make bikes?
No, he's basically just a designer nowadays. Mm-hmm. He sold his company in 93, I think, to Trek.
And, I mean, how handy was he? I mean, in terms of getting beyond the design part and coming up with the idea for the engineering, I mean, was he also doing the welding himself and just putting the parts together, bolting things together?
No, not that much. He had people working on that. They did a lot of prototypes. I was invited down to Marin County one summer. Actually, we did it several times, where it was before the International Bike Show. And he had about 8 different prototypes that he had designed for people to ride and then fill out a form based on our opinion of that design and how it worked. So we climbed hills, we rode the bikes around, so on and so forth. 2 or 3 of them were disasters, didn't work at all. And several of them had really unique features. And eventually became part of the line. There was really an exciting time because of the fact that things were changing so fast, and the evolution of the bike was just progressing on its own.
You mentioned that you added mountain bikes to a store where you sold canoes and kayaks. Was it the kind of thing where you saw a mountain bike and after the obligatory few minutes of, like, what is it? How does it work? You were just, I mean, did you go crazy for it yourself pretty quickly?
Well, yes and no. It became obvious after a while that people were running around with kayaks on top of the cars, seemed to have a bicycle right next to them. So we kept pursuing the idea, and finally I found a manager, to run the site, that side of the business. And we started picking up lines like Gary Fisher and KHS and developing a good resource locally where people could ride. And that's where a lot of people would come and try to find out about what races were going on and what areas people were riding. that whole experience was really a lot of fun.
So let's talk for the non-mountain biker, for the person who just knows, well, I want a bike that's going to be good in town and good on trails, and I want 21 gears, and beyond that, I don't care much. What are the things that you can point to in a fairly standard off-the-shelf mountain bike that Gary Fisher contributed?
Well, the one thing that Gary contributed really to the industry was determining the measurements for a mountain bike. And a good fit, of course, is important. But he came up with the idea of measuring the top tube length and the standover height on the bicycle, and became a kind of standard. So that as we select a bike, we get one that fits us properly. If it fits and the bike functions nicely, you're going to ride it more. And that was one of the problems that seemed to exist for a while, is there wasn't really any standards on frame sizes, so on and so forth. And so he was one of the people that came up and said, well, here is a guide that will help you better fit your bike, and you'll be more comfortable and enjoy it more.
We have an email here from Randy and Roosh. He says, I knew Gary back in the day when he had a bike shop in Marin. I also rode some of the early prototypes built by Mert Lowell. Pretty crude bikes with terrible riding characteristics. Gary sold me some handlebars after I snapped my bars off 10 miles from my car. So lots of good stories to tell about Gary Fisher. And you'll be able to see more tonight if you go see the new film by Ron Hilbert. Showing at 7 o'clock this evening at Backside Brewing Company in Roseburg. Ron, best of luck with the project. And thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.